Total Tuscany Podcast, number 40. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Of course, we encourage you to visit TotalTuscany.com and also follow us on our social media channels at Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram as we keep up to date daily, weekly, monthly on all things Tuscany. I'm Travis Justice. Good to have you along with my travel partner and co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, how are you?
Can you believe this is our 40th podcast?
You know, that kind of snuck up on us, didn't it?
It really did. You know, when we started this podcast almost a little under 2 years ago, we had these dreams of doing a podcast once a week and doing all that. But then you realize it's pretty labor intensive. It's pretty time intensive. But still, we're on track of doing about one every
once a month, maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah. So, and it's been a while since we've been back in the studio, but of course, with our children and our families, lives gets ahead of you. And then, especially during the fall season, trying to work out a timetable during harvest of wine and olives, people work in Tuscany, and it's hard to get them to commit to doing a half hour, 45 minute interview, but things are starting to settle down in the countryside.
They are, and I think as Christmas season approaches, we start thinking, at least I start thinking about Tuscany again, and we're finding, I think we're doing a really nice job of finding some really unique people to talk to.
And it really comes down to the relationships that we have established on this podcast, and of course introduced with you, the listener, because I hope the listener, when you listen to these, feel like you've established a relationship with Pat and myself, and also the people that we talk to. And that is how we found today's interview, was through Georgette Jupe. And congratulations to Georgette, by the way. She was married last weekend. She was one of our first podcast interviews a couple of years ago. We met her when we were in Tuscany in March. But her and her husband, Nikolai, were married.
Wonderful people.
Wonderful people. And we want to say congratulations to Georgette and many happy years. But, you know, reading her blog, Girl in Florence, I came in contact through KM Zero Tours. And I'm like, she went to Chianti and spent this wonderful day and weekend with this nice little farmhouse in Chianti. And it piqued my interest. I was reading the story. And the more I read about it, the more I became interested. And I thought this would be a very good podcast because it is something unique. It's built on that personal relationship when it comes to tours.
Yeah, there are so many wonderful places to visit in Tuscany, but this place sounds so interesting, the friendship aspect that they're developing.
I think the key is, Pat, when people invest the money to go on a trip, and we understand it's a significant amount, and we want you to keep tuned to the Total Tuscany podcast, because Pat and I, we're going to kind of break the ice here. We're working on our first group tour that you can travel to Tuscany with us. Some information will be coming out hopefully later this month, maybe in January, but we want you to travel with us to Tuscany. It's going to be a small, intimate group, but we think we're going to put together a pretty unique experience, because we look for something authentic. Because when you travel, you want to make sure you're not getting into the tourist traps. And even Tuscany, from Florence and into the hill towns, has tourist traps.
Oh, most definitely. You can walk right into them.
And we want you to avoid those. We want you to find something authentic. And today we think, we know we have something that's truly authentic to Chianti. And we want to introduce you to Ariana Cini from KMZeroTours.it. She joined us today on the Total Tuscany podcast. Ariana, I love the name of your company, and that is KM Zero Tours, which means no distance. And to be honest with you, when you are in Tuscany, it feels like you can just stay there and go nowhere the entire time because it's that beautiful. You just want to stay right where you are.
Well, it is true. Yes, it's here. It's beautiful. It's a kind of another world because it's so relaxing and it's so peaceful. The countryside. It's completely another way of life. And so the name of Kilometro Zero Tours. Actually, it was an idea we had when we were in a very nice restaurant that is very close to our house. And basically there they propose food, local food, so from local producers. And so that we have the expression in Italy that is products at kilometer zero products. And that means basically products that are as close as possible to the producers. So basically you eat something and you know about the culture, about where that food is produced. And this is amazing, I think, because you have the possibility to know about the culture and about the soil and to meet the people who were producing that product. And I think that's the best thing.
Have you had any difficulty finding enough local producers to do that for you?
No, absolutely not. At the beginning, of course, it was quite difficult because the problem is to find people who are really doing and who are really creating a certain product because of their passion, so not thinking about any business. And the problem of this place, because Chianti Classico region is a very well-known place and we have tourists from all over the world, and that's, of course, that's a really big thing, and everybody loves it. But on the other side, it's many places are basically built for tourists, and also the tastings in many places, they are, I'm not saying that they are fake, but anyway, when you go there, everything is already planned and it's not really real. And so we have selected a lot of producers, and it took a while to find the right people, because what we wanted to obtain from, you know, from the experience was to be able to really transmit that product and to be able to introduce to people really passionate producer who were caring of the product and who were doing for generations and who were really knowledgeable about that product. And that was really hard. It was not so simple. At the beginning, I thought I was born here and I know many people. But then even people who I was thinking that, you know, they were the perfect people in the end, they were just, they were taking tastings not in a serious way, in my opinion. They were just, you know, thinking, you are a tourist, so you don't understand anything. And so I'm going to give you 10 minutes and then a glass of wine and that's it. And I was quite disappointed by this thing. And so we, through our project, what we would like to do is to give value again to products, to the producers and to the travelers as well. Because also travelers, I think they have to be knowledgeable of what they see, and even if they are holidays, of course, they're going to have fun, but at the same time, they have to learn something, and most of it, they really have to be involved in a local kind of life. And
After all that process, and being as selective as you have been, what types of materials and what type of products have you been able to source? Can you give our listeners an example?
Yeah, we have selected, of course, the first ones were the wine producers, because we live in the, you know, in the, one of the most famous wine regions in all over the world. And so, of course, the wine was a must. But it was also the most difficult part for the 2-hour project, because the wine is something that is obvious for a lot of people. And so these wine tastings, even the expression of wine experiences is already over used, unfortunately, and so that was the hardest part of you know, of the selection. But we really succeeded in finding the right producers, the right wine producers who are really passionate about their job and who really know what they do, and they are doing, ready to share, really. So they're going, that when we were selecting the producers, we were really giving importance on also the time this producer wanted to share with the people, because it takes time to understand for them. I mean, for someone who is not so close to that kind of lifestyle, because, you know, I was born in the countryside, and so for me, and I'm a kind of producer as well, because I have the olive trees, and so even if I'm working as a tour guide, not as a producer, but anyway, I can understand them quite closely. But for someone who lives in New York, for example, and who has just a couple of days to be in the countryside, it is not so obvious to understand what happens in a winery, you know, because it's, you know, it's, everyone is able to appreciate a glass of wine. The problem is that it's just a few people can understand all the work and the efforts were, you know, that are behind that glass of wine. And so it's I think it's the producer really have to tell them also about all what happens, no, in this, because it takes 2 years to get the glass of wine, and people do not think about it. And so one of the most important thing for us was to find people who understood, so who were working as producers and as farmers, and who understood the importance of sharing the knowledge and their craft with other people. And so now we have a really good selection of great wine producers, and not only, of course, we have the chefs. So Julia, for example, she's amazing because, again, she's really passionate about cooking, and she loves what she do, and she's ready to share with people all her passion, and that's amazing. And also food producer, for example, cheese producer and honey. So basically truffle, all the gastronomic products we have in Tuscany.
You know, you were talking about Jules from Jules Kitchen, a previous guest on our Total Tuscany podcast. You know, when people think of Chianti, I think you're right that people think automatically of wine. But you do have a section on cheese, pasta and olive oil, meat, handcrafted items, and different items like that. What, besides the wine, what do you think really stands out? Is it the meat? Because when we go to Panzano, we love the meat that Dario Cecchini puts out. I mean, is it the meat? Is it the olive oil? What else makes Chianti so special and maybe a hidden gem?
The other king, let's say, of the gastronomic tradition of Tuscany is the olive oil. Also because the olive oil, for Tuscan people like me, the olive oil is something that is really one of the most important things you use in the kitchen every day. So, and especially the period from October until now, until December, basically, at least here in the countryside, what I heard is just talking about new olive oil. And for example, last year, it was a horrible year for the olive oil because we didn't harvest because there was a disease. So the olive trees, they got a kind of disease, a fly that basically it had bitten the olives, and so we could not even harvest, and nobody harvested the olives in Tuscany and all over Italy last year. And it was a really, it was something unbelievable. Everyone was really shocked because they could not have the olive oil for 1 year. And for us, it's something very, it's something that you cannot even think about it. And to visit an oil mill during the olive harvest, I think it's one of the best experiences you can have, because the olive oil, the new olive oil, is considered as one of the biggest celebrations we have in Tuscany, and because it's something that basically, unlike the wine, the olive oil it expresses its best when it's fresh. So when it's freshly pressed. And so you can immediately understand the value, and it's something really that it's priceless, because you go to the oil mill with your olives, you wait and you understand all the process about the how the olives are processed, and then you see the new olive oil that gets out from the tank, and you can just do in the frittunta, that is the, you know, the bread, grilled bread with just a little bit of garlic and the new olive oil. And you can get it straight away from the tank, and it's something really exciting. And all the people are so happy, and everyone is offering you, a piece of bread. it's a big celebration.
It's interesting because I think Pat and I would both agree with you. When we first did our first Tuscany trip, we were hooked by the wine, but because that's all we had in our mind. But then we had the olive oil for the first time, and I don't think we can't get good olive oil in the United States. I mean, there's just something different about the fresh olive oil that we find in Tuscany. Yeah. And every time we go back, we don't ship wine back anymore, but we ship olive oil back regularly. So let me ask you this. You you have an estate that you want? Do you produce your own olive oil?
Yeah, we produce our own olive oil, but it's a really little quantity. So we don't export the olive oil, at least at this stage. Maybe in the future, because actually what we would like to develop, it's a kind of tourism connected to the olive world. And so basically we would like to offer the possibility to guests to get involved to the olive harvest experience. That is one of the best ones. And so basically people could come here and to stay in our holiday home, because we have also a holiday house here in Chianti, and they could stay here with us and they could get involved in the olive harvest experience, and then they could taste the olive oil that they made, or at least they had to make. And that's, of course, if this is going to be successful, then in the future we could think about getting more olive trees and, you know, starting really producing olive oil and even exporting. But at this stage, we have only 250 trees. That means not really a lot. And so we use the olive oil just, you know, for the guests, mm-hmm. of the house, and for friends and for us, and that's it. Also because we consume a lot of olive oil. So we are basically ourselves the main client.
It's funny that Travis described that, because we were ready for the wine, but we had no idea how important the olive oil is. It seems to the fabric, or to the fabric of the society. It's everybody enjoys it and celebrates it, and we were just totally not ready for it.
I think it's really more felt than the wine in the end, mm-hmm. for Tuscan people. I mean, only for us. Then I don't know the other reasons, because it would be interesting to ask. For example, in the other region which produce olive oil, for example, in Puglia or Sicilia or Liguria, I don't know about them, but I'm sure that, you know, here in the countryside, these 3 months people are completely getting crazy. And I think what I did this year is I have frozen some new olive oil in very little bottles of just 100 milligrams. And I'm going to basically defrost these little bottles to my guests who are going to come here next season, for example, in the summer. And they won't have the possibility to see the difference, because it's completely different.
Oh, between frozen and fresh?
Yeah, basically, if you froze the olive oil, of course, then it's not the best way. Then it's just to show people it's not the best way then to consume the olive oil, no? But, you know, if you froze a little bottle of olive oil in the freezer, then when you take out the bottle, it keeps exactly the same smell and the same color of the new olive oil. And that's the only way I have in order to, you know, to share this big thing to other guests who are coming in the summer, and so they don't have the possibility to see and to taste the new olive oil. And so we have invented this kind of thing in order to explain them, because it's completely, I don't know if you ever tasted the new olive oil.
Not fresh, we have not. Not not freshly pressed.
Yeah, it's completely different, because the olive oil, the regular one, even if it's good anyway, it's yellow and it has a mild flavor. But the new olive oil, it's light green and it's a kind of peppery, it's spicy, and it's completely different. Then naturally it loses its characteristics and with the time. Actually, it was something traditional from this area, because you have the new olive oil during the winter, and so it has a heavier taste. It gets really good with the heavier food. So, for example, with the cabbage or with the, you know, potatoes and meats. And then it gets more mild with the time. And then during the summer, you have the mozzarella, or you have just one salad, And you have the olive oil that is lighter, so it's better with that kind of food, summer food. So the natural basically is smarter than anyone else.
So you mentioned you on your estate you have the 250 olive trees, but you also have the holiday home, Montregoli, is how you pronounce it. Now, is this where you were born? Is this where you were raised?
Exactly. Yeah, I was born here. Actually, my dad is an architect, and his job was always to restore this kind of case coloniche. Casa colonica is basically a country villa. It's full of case coloniche here in countryside. And basically it's a solo house. So it's the typical landscape, no, that you can imagine. It's a hill with the vineyards and olive groves. And then you have on the top of the hill, you have a solo house. That's the casa colonica. And my dad had this profession for over 30 years, and this was one of his first jobs. So he bought this house from the Antenori family. The Antenori, probably you know them, they are one of the most renowned wine estates in Tuscany now. They produce a lot of different wines, and they have, of course, they have a lot of villas spread all over Tuscany. And he bought the house from them in the 86, and then he bought the house. He has restored the house. For the first 10 years, we were living in the house, so it was we did not rent the house, but we were living there. So that's something that it makes a difference in the end, because I have been living in the house that actually now I'm renting. And so the one really interesting thing is that when I have guests, I really can share with them what was my life in that house. And so they can really understand. So for me, this is not a business. Well, it is, of course, it's something, it's my work, but at the same time, it's really my life, because there's involved my family, my childhood, my father. And so for me, doing a welcome is not just giving the key, you know, it's really telling people what their house it means for me, and what I would love that I would love that these people are understanding where they live and the history behind the house.
Ariana, our first trip to Tuscany, we took our families, and I noticed that your website, you are really encouraging families to come and stay. Could you walk a family that's listening to our podcast today, walk them through the welcome and what that would be like for them?
When people are coming here, first of all, I'm explaining about the history of the house. So I'm telling them about, you know, what was before my dad bought the house, and, you know, what my father did. We actually have even some pictures of the house that was, you know, when the house was basically in the restoring stage. And that's interesting for the guests, because they really can understand all the process, and usually you don't have this possibility. So I'm always telling them, because actually it was my father who planted all the trees in the garden, because when he bought the house, there was just a plain field without any plant. And now we have a huge oak tree that is as high as the house itself. That is really high, the house, and it's big, it's very big. And I'm always telling the guests that when my dad comes back home, he all the time, because he's getting old, and so he's always repeating the same things. And then he comes back home, he looks at the oak tree, and he's like, oh no, I cannot imagine. I have planted that tree. I'm getting so old, because now the tree is kind of, you know, it's a massive tree. And so really, in the moment that he looks at the tree, he really realizes that, you know, time flies, kind of. And then I'm showing them the house, and then we go downstairs, and we share with them with the knowledge about wine, because actually me and my boyfriend, who helps him in manage the house and in doing this project about tours. He's a sommelier, and so together with him, we have selected several local wines that, in our opinion, best way reflect our region. And so we go downstairs together, and we show them a little cellar that we have built with, and we basically we explain them about the history of certain wine and why that certain wine is connected to our, in our opinion, to our region, and we tell them something about the owners of the wine, and then usually we offer them always, if they want, and welcome aperitivo. So aperitivo for Italian people, it's a very important part of the day, because it's when basically you just open a bottle of wine, you sit down together, and you share experiences, and you know, you relax together. And we think that it's really important that guests, they feel really at home. And so that the best way to do that is basically is to what I have seen. I mean, in these years that I was working here, the best way to do that is really to sit down together with them. So is to put at the same level and just know each other like you were friends. So basically, you're not anymore the owner of the villa. You're just Arianna, and they are just, you know, Marco or whatever. And so basically, our concept is to break the roles. And so everybody is becoming friends. So it's not about you are the client, I'm the owner, or you are the client, I'm the tour guide. It's really to be at the same level, to be friends. And we have seen that it's the most rewarding thing you can do. Just to open a bottle of wine, to put it on the table, to put some Taralucci next to it, and then, you know, you start talking, and everything, it goes natural in the end.
If people are coming to visit you and say they only have one day, do you do one day travel guides? And then if we were to stay at your location, do you take us around Chianti for, you know, a couple days, a week? How does it all work if we were to come and visit you?
They don't have to be forced to do anything. So we have two kind of directions now. We have tourists who are coming by themselves. So thanks to the word of mouth, or thanks to other
like great podcasts like this one.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you're coming just like... No, just, you know, just they are coming, and in that case, they are coming for the house, and then of course they know about us, but they have already their schedule, no? So they are coming here, but they have already planned their holiday, and so in that case, we don't want to force them to change their schedule. So we are just offering them the possibility to do a wine tour together with, or a food tour together with us. Or also in case, because we have also a lot of families during the summer. And of course, for a little child, it might be tiring, no, to be out the whole day. And so in that case, another way, because basically we would like them to understand a little bit our philosophy, our project, but without forcing them. And so usually it's a very natural thing. So, or they choose to be with us for a day, for, you know, to meet our producers, or we can do a pizza night together, and they can, you know, for the kids it's really nice, they can understand all the process about making pizzas, and so I let you do the dough together with them, and they understand from the yeast until the final pizza, and then they can create the pizzas. It really depends. Another direction that we are developing now, it's that people basically are coming because of the tours. And so that's completely another kind of tourism. So more active kind of tourism. And basically we are going to organize for them already the activities. So we are organizing the schedule, of course, together with them. So it's kind of, it's a tailored kind of thing. And at that point, so they're coming and they already know what they do. At this point, we have this kind of these two kinds of guests here in the house.
You know, I know your busy time is probably the summer and running through the fall, but we're coming up on the winter season and also the Christmas season. For tourism, I know it's not busy, but what's Christmas like in Tuscany? And would it be a good time to tour Tuscany at a non-traditional time?
Yeah, the busiest season is from May until September. In my opinion, the best time and through these activities and tours, I would like to explain people that Tuscany is not beautiful only in June, July, and August, but it's really interesting also in other periods. And in my opinion, the best periods are October, November, for sure, because actually now the weather is getting better. I don't know how, but in some way, the weather is getting better in October and November than in sometimes even in July. And so you spend less money and no tourists, and the colors are amazing because the vineyards are getting bold and you have all this kind of beautiful light. Everything is so welcoming, and there's so much going on because, again, there's the new olive oil, that's the Vinsanto. I don't know if you know about Vinsanto. That is the holy wine. It's a kind of semi-sweet wine we have in Tuscany, and it's considered one of the most interesting thing because it's basically the grapes are hanged in a special room for 2 or 3 months, and it's amazing to see it. And then there's the truffle season. So there's so much going on, and I would, if I had to recommend someone the best time to be in Tuscany, I would say probably October, November. And then also the springtime is very beautiful because, again, you have the cheese that is coming out. So it's the best season for the cheese. I mean, April and from the mid of March and then the whole month of April. And then you have beautiful flowers and you have everything is, you know, is coming again to life. So you really also for the local people, it's springtime. It's one of the best period because after the winter, we finally can live the outdoor life again. And for Italian people, as you probably know, being in the streets and being in the fields is the most, you know, it's the most important thing. We cannot be at home the whole time. we have to go out and to meet people and to start talking. And, you know, that's really a kind of something that we have to do. And so for us, being in the spring, finally you can go out and you can start, you know, hanging out with friends or doing the picnics in the fields. And it's a really nice moment. The winter time, it can be interesting. Now we have some guests who are planning to come on the 20th, I guess. Yes, from France. They're going to come here because they are going to have a family reunion. And in this case, it's really nice because if you want to be in a, you know, in a cozy place, not in a hotel, but, you know, with your family to be all together, to be relaxed, that's the perfect place. But not really for the activities because all the wineries are closed. And so for a kind of travelers who are interested in meeting producers, maybe winter time is not the best time.
Okay, that's interesting. I did not know the wineries were closed during December. But
Yes. So them, yes.
All right. KM0tours.it is the website. Ariana, yeah. It sounds like a wonderful experience. I hope our listeners found this educational as well as motivational to find their way to your lovely estate. We can't wait to meet you in person. We thank you so much for your time and have a Merry Christmas coming up. And I hope the next tour season is very successful for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It has been really, really beautiful to talk with you and to meet you virtually in this first stage. I really look forward to meeting you in person as well as the next time you're going to start Tuscany.
Thank you, Ariana. Can't wait for it.
Ariana is one of those people that we probably could have talked to for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. You know, how fun would it be to stay at that place and just visit with her and soak in the experience of someone who's actually born and raised on the same estate? That doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen that often. And again, they can do. You can go there for a 1 day experience, or you can stay on the estate for 7 days or 2 weeks, however long you can book the holiday home for, because you will get that unique, true Tuscan and Chianti experience. Make sure as you are listening to this podcast, most likely you're on our website, TotalTuscany.com. If you're joining us on iTunes or Stitcher, go to the website, because we have a wonderful video that Ariana has produced about the estate and kind of the experience that you're going to get. So if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, go to the website, TotalTuscany.com. Look at the pictures, watch the video. I think you'll find it absolutely fascinating. Of course, we want you to follow us all week long. We may not be doing a podcast on a weekly basis, but we are doing stuff socially to really get the word out about all things Tuscany. And you can follow us on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. And of course, now on Instagram. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. I'm ready to go back. Are you, Pat?
I am. But I want to tell our listeners Merry Christmas.
That's true, because we may or may not do another podcast before Christmas, but if we don't, have a very Merry Christmas. And as you make those New Year's resolutions, make this one that you want to travel. You want to branch out. You want to go somewhere different. And we encourage you to go to Tuscany, and we'll be your guides if you let us be that. So till next time we talk on the Total Tuscany podcast, have a great day, and remember, live Tuscany.